Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Hey, good afternoon, friends. It's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. We hope you enjoy today's presentation. We have worked diligently to prepare for you. Me and my good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave, we have an outstanding program for our listeners today. It's a lot of different kind of subjects, but we're kind of following on our similar format that we've done in the past. At least we're going to do it again today and probably again tomorrow, is follow on some of these very difficult questions that we all come up with or we think about. And we often wonder, what does the Bible say? And what is the Christian response to some of the most difficult questions known to mankind? And here's an example. Here's where we're going to start today, Dave. Ready for this one? How does the imperfection of man compare to the perfection of God? Now, that is a loaded question, isn't it?
Sure is. The Bible says, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." Imperfection is in all of us. None of us are perfect. We can compare ourselves to the Lord because he then takes us and sets us in a place where maybe we weren't able to do that before. Mm-hmm. I love the way the Lord shows us his perfection and how he helps us when times when you just don't feel like doing anything. And all of a sudden there comes like a sweet breeze, like a wind that just moves us and changes our attitude and what we're doing in life, and to continue on. We got people who sometimes just push us aside, and things don't go right for them, and so they make it difficult for us. But I'm thankful for the Lord. I'm thankful for the Bible. I'm thankful for all the things that His perfection pushes us toward. We don't want to be a slouch. We don't want to be haphazard. We want to be ready. We want to be anointed. We want to be fulfilling the law of Christ. That's what this program is all about. If you're listening
exactly
today,
right,
and you're here tuning in for the first time, I hope that if you're in your car and you're going as fast as you can, the law will provide. Slow down a little bit before you run out of WPFG. You'll be able to get something from our hearts. It's just great to answer some questions that come into all of our lives. We have all kinds of things that we need to talk about. We're going to talk about the perfection and the imperfection of all of us. And I see down the list we're going to talk about numbers today.
Yeah.
And
that might be important. It is. Well, that's a fun subject. Before we leave this thought completely, though, how does the imperfection of man compare to the perfection of God? That one really strikes a chord, doesn't it? The Bible says a lot about that. And I know one of my favorites comes out of the Romans chapter 3, as it is written there. It says, "There is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned, and all have come short of the glory of God." You know what that tells me more than anything, Dave? I think more than anything else, that particular verse tells me that there's no such thing as sin level 1, sin level 2, sin level 3, or sin level 4. There's no measurement tool like that. Our legal system says, well, you're penalized this much for stealing a loaf of bread, you're penalized this much for robbing a bank, and you're penalized this much from robbing your neighbor, and you're punished this much for robbing the United States government. But the Bible doesn't see it that way. The Bible says sin is sin, And we all have sinned, and we all have come up short. To me, that's an impressive thought process. Romans chapter 3 makes it clear.
Well, when you have a sin problem, I guess that's the reason for going to church, because church is coming near to the Lord, and the preacher has a word from heaven that ministers to us and helps us to say, hey, you got to get a hold of yourself, find that there is a God who is willing to help you times of trouble.
That is a very good way to say it, Dave. Thank you, my friend. I hope our listeners were able to pick up on that. And we're going to allude to that, in fact, even more very soon. You talked about the numbers. Let's have a little bit of fun. We're getting awful heavy with our listeners, and let's put a smile on their face. Numbers, there's all through the Bible, there's numbers. We wonder if they have any significant meaning, and what is that meaning if it is true?
I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay, sock it to me.
You have a favorite number?
Let's see.
All of your life.
I guess I do.
You do?
Yeah, I guess I do. I don't know why I say it, but 3 is always an impressive number to me. Yes.
You want to know something?
Yes, okay.
I have a number started years ago when I was in Bible college. 318.
318.
318. Every time something came up, 318 would come into focus.
Is that right?
Still to this day.
To this day it does.
Neil will call me or Dwayne will call me and say, you know, 318, I heard it yesterday, and all I could think about was you, Dave, because every time you wanna, we go to a hotel room and get out of the bus, and my room would be 318. Roll us away. Yeah. I mean, we just couldn't,
it's amazing,
couldn't
huh?
beat it. Uh-huh. So that's maybe that's not important. I don't know.
Well, we're having a little fun with these numbers here. But 318 is not one of the numbers found in the Bible.
The next time you hear the word 318,
all right, I will think of Dave Colonin.
Yep.
Yes, I will. Well, there are some numbers that are significant. How about 7? The first one, as I look at my notes here, 7 is something I've uncovered. And what does the Bible say about 7? And on the 7th day, God ended his work, which he hath made, and he rested on the 7th day from all of his work which he hath made. And God blessed the 7th day and sanctified it, because that in it he has rested from all of his works which God hath created and made. So he's saying he created and made them several times right off the bat. Boom, 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 7, 7, 7, 7. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. Psalms 119. 7 again appears. And there in the mines, which has wisdom, the 7-headed are 7 mountains on which sitteth a woman. Revelation 17. How about 12? Is that a big number in the Bible?
Well, you can't forget 10.
Well, 10 is it? That's true. Yeah, okay.
10 is probably bigger. Maybe. That's why we're talking about them.
Okay.
We don't understand about numbers.
All right. What do you have on 10?
I have a whole book at home. I wish I would have brought it. It's entitled Numbers.
Really?
And it's all the big numbers of the Bible. Do you know there's a whole book of big numbers? God believes in numbers. So that's every time we came to 318, we'd say, oh, there's God talking to us again. Look at him. He's putting it right down.
I'll write that down in a memory bank. I have that one. What's it say about 10?
10 says...
10 commandments. Hey, there's one.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
10 commandments are still important. They're still in the Bible. And there's not 9 or there's not 11. There's 10.
There's 10.
And they have become big. The Bible says in Revelation, and the 10 horns which we saw, and the 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast.
Yes.
There are a lot of things
that are contained
at 10. Dan, you wanted to, we'll just go along real quick. We might get through a lot of these. There are a lot of numbers.
Yeah, there are.
I'm going to look that up in my book again.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to do a show on that. If you have a whole book of numbers, I think that'll be fascinating.
It really is.
12. How about 12? And Moses wrote all of the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Remember reading that in Exodus?
Mm-hmm.
12. What else? 12, 12, 12. Now, the name of 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, John, the brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, Elebedus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. I mean, there's 12 everywhere, isn't there? And the 12 gates were of 12 pearls. Every 12 gates was of one pearl. And the streets of the city were pure gold, and it were transparent, and it was as transparent as glass, Revelation 21. So there's lots of references to 12.
You see, there's from 12, you want to jump to something big, like 40?
Yeah, go, okay, what do you have?
But in between, I know there's something for almost every number.
Is that right? Yes. Every single number.
God designed things in numbers, like the 12 gates and the 12
that's
disciples.
Right. Yeah.
And it can go on and on and on.
Something like that for just about every number, huh?
Right, 40. 40, how about number 40?
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, go ahead, tell me what you
have. There's a lot more than that. Moses went into the midst of the cloud and up into the mountain, and when he was there for 40 days and 40 nights.
Yeah, that's right.
That's when he got the Ten Commandments and brought them down.
Yeah, that's right. That was 40, wasn't it? How about Jonah? Isn't there something about Jonah?
Well, he went
40 days.
He went to Nineveh.
That's right.
Started out to get to Tarshish before he went to Nineveh, and that's where they had the big revival. The days that they tried to get together, they finally had a revival, and 120,000 people lived in that town, and they all got saved.
120,000.
That's right. Wow. That was the biggest revival. I guess now some guys have 100,000 people in their service. Wow. So that would be
maybe that record might have been broken.
Might have been.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. But 120,000 at one time, that's amazing.
How about the people who fast for 40 days?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that one.
Jesus fasted for 40 days.
Yeah.
The only person I know that really fasts for 40 days.
Jonathan.
How did you guess that?
Yeah,
he's powerful.
He's powerful.
He came to our church at about the 30th day.
Yeah,
I mean, he was exploding with
was he
energy and
feeling that.
I've been with God. You know, he was telling us that, and he had a power about his message. So for 40 days, I could never fast 40 days.
Well, I think and don't you have like soup is permitted when you're fasting for long time periods like that?
Well,
isn't that kind of the rule?
It's something with liquid.
Something with liquid, yes.
Right.
So that you can almost drink it, but then you're not eating, and that's acceptable, and that's what keeps us alive. Yeah. Jeez.
It's sometimes.
Yeah.
When things are important to you.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was trying to make a change from this to this and go to the furthest thing from my mind, I said, I better spend 3 days and fast and pray and be with the Lord.
Yeah,
those are days that, you know, you get three fast days underneath your belt.
That's
you'll know it. Yeah, you'll be a special person.
Your church does that pretty much. Don't they do that for like 3 weeks every January or something
like
that?
Yes.
Where they have only liquids
and
no solid foods?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an incredible. I tried to do that once. Well, I think we tried to do it as a group here at the radio station, and I think I lasted something like 6 days. I said, man, I just can't do it. It's hard to do. You try that sometime.
Well,
yeah, that's very difficult to go without eating anything. Yeah.
It says Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil.
Yeah.
So if you're frustrated about yourself, read in the Bible that Jesus himself spent some time trying to take care
40 days
of the devil.
Yes.
And he didn't eat. It says he ate nothing.
That's right. That's what it says.
And when it ended, he was hungry. Yes, sir. He was hungry.
How about another number? I can go to 100. I know when I have something on 100. Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. That's right in Genesis 26, right off the bat. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Leviticus. So 100 is a good number in the Bible. Any others that you can think of, Dave?
Well, there's at least one more.
One more big one?
One more big one. That would be, how about 10,000?
10,000. No, that is a big one.
Okay.
Okay, what do you have on 10,000?
10,000. That's the same as almost the other one. About 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. That's in the book of Psalms.
Yeah.
You know, 91. See, there's another number. 91 is one of the big, big, big psalms.
Yes, it is.
I think we should do this again sometime. Because,
okay. Just on the numbers.
Yes.
You're better at that than I am. Well, I was trying to think of some good ones.
I was fascinated with numbers from the very beginning, and I'm always interested in numbers.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Isn't that unusual that you and I
would
both fall in
that category? Maybe everybody is, and they just don't say it. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But numbers fascinate me. That's why I do Sudoku puzzles. Do you ever do those Sudokus?
Oh, yeah.
I do them every day. All right. Well, let's see. Will God ever die? Now, there's a good question for us Christians to try to respond to, David. Will God ever die? Well, you know, my favorite one is right off of Psalms chapter 9, right off the bat. But the Lord shall endure forever. That's what it says in chapter 9. So there's no doubt that God will live forever. But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, and thy remembrance unto the generations. I said, O my God, take me not away from the midst of my day. Thy years are throughout all generations, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Psalms chapter 102.
God will never die.
Never die.
And neither will we. If we serve him and find him living in our lives, we will live 10 million years from now.
That's right.
A tragedy to have missed that.
Yes.
That would bother me totally if I...
And some will.
If I thought I was trying to get on my own and I'm going to be left behind and suffer for 10 million years, and I have the privilege of going to heaven, what kind of a question
Who would want to deliberately miss that?
Who would want to push that aside? I can't fathom it.
No, neither can I.
It makes the church easy to go to and easy to preach, and a gospel that's easy out of WPFG.
That's right.
We have to blow the horn and tell people that, hey, it's coming.
To
it's
be
closer
born again.
Than we've ever been.
Yes.
We got to find the Lord. We got to live forever, 1,000 years to begin with, and that's just the beginning, and then we really move into the a great time of life and the history of the earth and everything that's with it.
Everything and everybody.
The future is so bright that we are willing to give our time here at this station to tell somebody, you better get prepared to hear from the Lord.
Do it
because
the right
it's
way.
Going to be a long time
that's right.
that he's going to take care of us. And if you miss it,
it's too late.
That's why we send missionaries. We could just stay here and say, we can't get to Africa, so forget it.
Forget them,
And let them find it in some other way. And
but
so,
we don't.
Like our Assemblies of God, the church that I go to, we have a couple thousand missionaries that we have had for years. I think we might be the strongest missionary church in the world.
Wow.
That sends our young people. And today we have a bigger outreach than ever. In Florida, where my granddaughters have gone to school, they have now 4,000 to 5,000 kids that are coming to learn how to be missionaries.
Is that right?
To learn how to be
That's
a
wonderful.
Part of the world and find out why we should go do that.
Why That's outstanding.
Should we leave America and all of its easiness and go to a tough town?
These are all souls
country.
Of God, yes. And we've got to do our part to save them.
Well, we can't just walk by and say,
it's a tough break, pal. No, we can't do that. No, we have to very much let everyone know that the opportunities for eternal salvation are there if you simply reach out.
Well,
That's
I
all
appreciate
you
give because you're the president of this radio station and this organization. and you're leading us along the way and guiding us and teaching us what we should do about the world in which
yes,
we live.
That's
you
right.
say, well, that's, they'll get Lancaster Station maybe. They, no, they those people can't get Lancaster everywhere.
That's right.
And so we have to get in our little niche and find a place where we can put
that's
our
right.
message. And we have to be diligent about that. And nobody knows any more than me that the diligence of what it
yes.
took to get 5 years into this station.
That's
we're
exactly
five. Right. We're
yeah.
starting our yeah. sixth year.
Yeah, we are.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Against all odds, against catastrophe and money and
yes.
all the needs that it has, we run our station on only you who send us a dollar or $10 every month or whatever it is.
Yes.
And we get enough to care for what we're doing.
That's right.
Praise God.
Praise God.
That turns me on and says, I got to go again
yeah.
today. I got to
yeah.
be there. I got to do my part. I want to give
right.
myself.
The Lord does answer prayer, doesn't he?
Sure
the Lord
does.
Provides. We were always worried about making payroll, but it seems like the Lord provides. We have some very solid listeners, many who support us on a routine basis, and that keeps us afloat. Praise the Lord for those people. They are doing their part, too.
Yep.
Yes,
many. We will continue on, and God will help us.
That's right.
So,
what are God's promises to those who tithe and give offering? Let's talk about money for a few minutes. That's always a good subject. We're talking about the money for the radio station. Well, what does the Bible say about that? What are God's promises to those who tithe and give offerings? Isn't that a good subject, Dave?
That's right.
Well,
Proverbs is full of that kind of
yes,
information.
Exactly.
Honor your Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and presses shall burst out with new wine. Proverbs chapter
yeah.
3.
That's
Don't
a good one.
Be afraid of giving God some money.
That's right.
Whatever you give to his work in his ministry will come back to you, I'll tell you for sure.
How about, I know I have one here from Proverbs. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. In other words, if you're passing it out, it's going to come back to you as well. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. In other words, sharing it, and again, it'll come back to you. I think that's a really wonderful way to say it.
10%.
Yeah.
There's that number 10.
And it comes back to you. Yep, that's right.
He didn't ask for 11%?
Nope.
12%?
Nope, just 100%?
10%.
He said
10. God made it easy on us. Anybody could give 10%.
That's exactly right.
When somebody yeah. comes in front of you and has trouble, and God says, help that person, you know, what do you
yes.
do?
I help
what
them.
Do you just push
yeah.
aside and say, no.
You
have to get it from somebody else.
Yeah. I do the best I can to help them.
Three.
Yeah. That's
so
right.
There's a gift. God will give us back what we give to him.
Yeah, I think that's a very powerful line.
Given that shall be given you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. But with the same measure that ye met with it, shall be measured to you again.
That's very good, Dave. That is a good one. That one comes out of Luke. In other words, whatever you're going to give and share is going to come back to you again and again and again.
Oh, people.
You know, I believe that.
People are always yes. saying, why are those guys talking about money? Why,
yeah.
why is it
yeah.
money come? Listen.
Yeah, you all need it, don't you?
It's just like going to heaven.
Yes.
If you want to go there, yeah. you got to do something right on earth. And
yes.
God says give
10%, to the needy.
Give 10% to the kingdom.
David, those are very powerful words. We've had an exciting program today.
It went by so quick.
But our time is exhausted. We've had a fabulous engineer who helps us to monitor our efforts here in our time. We have to thank Carla DeJesus, who is our engineer, who graciously gives of her time to share in these experiences with us. But for now, David, we must say goodbye.
Hey, I enjoyed it. I'll be back again. You can count on me. I'll be here. Have a great one.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.